Amen. All right. Well, the ushers are going to receive the honoring of the Lord as they do. I think we got some video announcements for you guys, so check out the overheads for what's coming up here at The Rock.
The Rock is a special place. Not that we can be proud of ourselves, but in a God who chose to take a people in a broke-down city and build one of the great churches on the planet. A place that has been called the graveyard of preachers for 60 years saw the resurrection of passionate, on-point preaching come to life again. The place that the newspapers called broken has seen lives rebuilt. The bankrupt city in poverty has the greatest blessings for the poor. Good news goes out every day and everywhere in the valley and on the mountaintops. Ages and cultures come together in unity and celebrate diversity. Not personal preference, but purpose. Not program or performance, but people. Not concept, but commitment. We are the church, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Every member a full-time minister. Upon this rock, Jesus is building his church. One by one, you matter to God and to the family that you came to. In love, we grow together to maturity. In life together, going to destiny. Fully engaged, wholehearted. We are the church, the Rock Church, and World Outreach Center.
I want to just give you one verbal announcement as well, is that this weekend, where's Pastor Antonio at? Pastor Tony, oh, are we doing water baptism this weekend? Third week. Okay, so not this weekend, but next. You got it. Okay, Mother's Day weekend, we're doing water baptisms? 20th and 21st. Okay, I thought it was this weekend for some reason. So 20th and 21st. All right, we're doing water baptisms, and so, you know, maybe in your walk with God, you're saying, I want to continue to grow and continue to do what God has called me to do. I want to encourage you guys as men. You know, sometimes the men, we don't want to do touchy-feely stuff. We don't want to express any emotion, that sort of thing. And I want to encourage you guys, you know, get involved, get water baptized. We're starting the Next Steps program this weekend, and that's the thing that I was thinking about you for, is that we're starting this weekend, starting Next Steps. And so if you're looking for what's next in your walk with God, how do I grow, that sort of a thing, get involved. All of that is in the magazine, and then we've got the one sheet that you can take a look at what's upcoming here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center. Great ways for you to get involved, avenues for you to join in with what God is doing here at the Rock. Well, tonight, you guys ready for the Word of the Lord? All right, man, I'm excited. We have a special guest tonight. It's his first time here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, and just so excited to have Robert Madu with us. He is coming all the way from Texas, and what really impressed me was, you know, this guy travels the world. He preaches the gospel. He's been on some of the largest platforms in the world preaching the gospel. He's a great communicator, great preacher. You're going to love the Word of God tonight. But I just wanted to point out one thing. I was looking over his website, just checking things out, seeing about his life, and one of the things that really touched my heart is that he has been in the same church there in Texas since he was 3 years old. And he's been raised up in that church. He's a part of the teaching team there. And so, you know, when I see a heart like that, that has a heart for the house of God, that shows me that there's something more than just a great communicator. You know, there's something more. There's a real heart behind that. So would you guys give a Rock Church welcome? And stand to your feet. Let's give the Lord a praise as Robert Madu comes to deliver the word. Robert, come tell us about Jesus.
Well, come on, man. Let's give Jesus some praise in the building tonight. Oh, come on, man. You could do better than that. I said, let's give Jesus some praise tonight. Come on, let's lift up the name that is above every name. Let's just give him a standing ovation of praise. Come on. God, we honor you tonight. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name. Ooh, before you take your seat, high five a brother next to you and say, it's on tonight. It's on tonight. High five a brother. How many excited to be at the men's event tonight? I tell you, I'm not just excited, I'm Red Bull excited. I got on the plane ready to get here. First of all, I just want to pause and thank God that the devil is upset tonight. Because on a Friday night, some men are not in the club, not at the bar, but in the house of God, lifting up the name above every name. Come on, this is absolutely amazing. So I'm just excited, glad to have my chocolate face in the place. We're going to have fun tonight. I'm believing God's going to do something awesome. I hope you came with some expectation. It's actually kind of funny. This is my first time coming to the Rock Church. It's kind of funny how I got the invitation. Pastor Dan called me up, a very quick call, and he said, "Hey, Robert, you believe in free speech?" I said, "Pastor Dan, absolutely, I do." He said, "Good, come get four of them this weekend at the Rock Church." So I said, "All right." So that's not what happened. But man, I just want to pause because as I was driving around here and looking around this church, this campus is just Disneyland on steroids. It's unbelievable. When I began to hear the heart of your pastor and to hear that over 500,000 people are fed each year, come on, this is not an ordinary church. This is an extraordinary church. And man, everything rises and falls on the back of great leadership. So before I say anything, I just want to thank God for this incredible man of God, your pastor. Come on, can we salute and celebrate Pastor Dan for who he is? Come on, y'all could do better than that, man. This is not easy to put this on. We honor you. We celebrate you. And I am from the younger millennial hip-hop generation. And there is an erroneous theology that says started from the bottom. Now we're here, and that's bad theology because nobody starts from the bottom. You start from the top because you stand on the shoulders of the spiritual giants that went before you. And so I would be remiss tonight if I didn't thank God for the incredible spiritual giant and founding pastor of this church who is here tonight. Come on, can we thank God for Pastor Jim? Come on, for who he is. I salute you, sir. I celebrate you. Come on, y'all can do better than that, man. Come on. He is the absolute man. He is a better looking Clint Eastwood, and I wouldn't want to mess with him, man. He would mess you up. But we're going to have fun. I do bring you greetings from the great country of Texas. Come on, somebody. I've lived there my entire life in Dallas, you know, home of God's team, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. That is, just want to put that out there. Amen. If you're a Patriots fan, you can leave the building right now. Just go on out. But lived there my entire life, married to the finest woman on the planet, got two kids and a third on the way, three kids under three. Holla at your boy. Bang, bang, bang. So it is busy at our home, but, man, it is an honor to be here tonight to share the Word of God. I'm going to jump straight to the Word. I hope you came to hear it because I came to preach it. Do you have a Bible with you? Come on. Powerful things happen when men of God come around his word. I want to look at Mark chapter 2 tonight. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. If you'll just indulge me, would you stand tonight just to honor the reading of God's word? Mark chapter 2, starting at verse number 1, and we'll land at verse number 12. How many of you never heard me preach before? Can I see your hand if you ain't never heard me preach? Oh, man, that's everybody. quick disclaimer, I am a holler back preacher. So that means you can't just sit there tonight and act like you're in a library. If anything I say resonates with you, you can say amen. You can say preach that. You can stand up and say, oh, that was good. You can stand up and say, whoo, that was for me. You can stand up and say, oh, bro, that was for you. Any one of those work tonight, but don't get quiet on me. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse number 1, we'll land at verse number 12. And really just to kind of set the trajectory of where we're going, it was interesting before I came, I heard a story of a man who went to go visit his doctor. The doctor said, "Sir, what's wrong?" The man said, "Everything." The doctor said, "What do you mean, everything?" He said, "Absolutely everything." He said, "Doc, no matter what place in my body that I touch, I keel over in excruciating pain." The doctor said, "Every place?" He said, "Yeah, every place." Doc said, "Okay, touch your nose." Man touched his nose. "Ah!" He said, "Okay, touch your ear." Touches his ear. "Ah!" He said, "Touch your knee." Touched his knee. "Ah!" He said, "Wow, touch your hair." Touched his hair. Doctor said, "Dummy, you got a dislocated finger." See, sometimes as a man, you can think that everything is wrong. There's pain in every place, when in actuality, it's just pain in one. If you can fix that one thing, everything else will take care of itself. Today, I want to talk about one thing. We see it in this text tonight. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 1, it says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and so many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some teachers of the law," a.k.a. the haters, "were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Ooh, come on, somebody. That is some good stuff right there. I don't do drugs. I do scripture. That is good. Hey, tonight, I just want to preach to you briefly. Not long, probably about 6.5 hours. I'm just playing. Come on, Cinco de Mayo. We're going to party. I want to preach to you from this thought. Man up. Man up. Look at the brother next to you. Get in his face. Get in his personal space. Look at him like you're mad at him. And say, "Brother, come on, tell him, brother, man up. Come on, find you another brother. Find you another brother. Get right in his grill and say, brother, man up." Come on, if you believe God's going to speak tonight, give him some praise up in here. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, thank you for your word tonight. God, I know the grass withers, the flower fades, but your word shall stand forever. Holy Spirit, speak to us. God, we didn't come here on a Friday night to waste time. God, we didn't come here tonight to be entertained. We've come to be drastically changed. Speak to us so clearly. And when we leave, let us say it was so good to have been in the presence of Jesus. And somebody who loves Jesus, say amen. Yes. Say amen again. Yes. Woo, man up. How many of you men would just say by a showing of hands that you were raised in church? Can I see your hand if you were raised in church? Oh, man, that's almost everybody. Rick, hold on, keep it lifted. Raised in church? Yeah. I just need to see who needs the counseling. No, I'm playing. You can put your hand down. I'll lift up my hand with you, and I'll let you know that I, too, was raised in church. If you lifted up your hand, you understand that the life of a church kid is distinctly different than the life of a regular kid. Oh, come on, somebody. There are trials and tribulations and situations that you go through as a church kid that other kids aren't even aware of. See, I know this too well because growing up in my household as a kid, we had to be in church, okay? Every day the doors were open, had to be in church. It was not a democracy. It was a dictatorship, okay? We had to be in church. I remember one time as a kid, I got bold and I got brave at 13, and I told my Nigerian father, okay? I said, "I ain't going this Sunday. I don't feel like it." Told my Nigerian father that. And do you know what my Nigerian father said to me? He said, "Let me tell you something, boy. Let me tell you something, okay? You have two options, huh? You can get out of that bed and go to church, or I can kill you. And we will go to church and have your funeral. But either way, you will be in church. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Hey, that's a true story. That is a true story. Y'all clapping at the abuse I endured. Dinners were different in my house. Dinners were different because you could not eat your food. You could not touch your meal without my mama hitting you with this question. What's your favorite scripture? Before you could eat your food, you had to give a scripture. Before you could touch the plate, you had to give a scripture. Brothers, you don't know hunger until your mind is racing through the Bible, just trying to find a scripture so you can eat your food. I remember one dinner being so frustrated with my mama, I looked at her and said, Jesus wept. Give me the chicken. Why are you playing with people's food? This is stupid, but that is the environment that I grew up in. And to be honest, brothers, I'm so thankful that's the environment that I grew up in, because it has produced something in me. It has produced an insatiable desire for the Word of God. I am obsessed with the Word of God. The Word of God is the hinge upon which my faith has its mobility. The Word of God is like steroids for my spirit. It is Red Bull for my faith. I love the Word of God. To those of you who think that book you're holding is some boring, antiquated book that don't really relate to your life, you have lost your mind. That is the only book that's still breathing. It is the only book that's still alive. It is the only book that has real power. It is the only book that was written in antiquity, but yet it can speak to the specificity of your life. There is nothing like the Word of God. It fortifies you. It builds you up. And although I love the entire Word, I got to be honest, I do have a favorite section. I have a favorite literary genre, and that is the Gospels. The Gospels are my favorite. That's my jam. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are my boys. In fact, I've spent so much time studying the Gospels, I feel like they're close personal friends of mine. I call them Matt, Marky Mark, Uncle Luke, and Little John. I love the Gospels because it's in the Gospels that we get to see these four men talking about the man whose name is Jesus. Ooh, one scholar said that the Gospels are Christology in narrative form. That's just a fancy way to say that the Gospels are the closest thing that we have of a biography of the greatest man who ever walked the face of this earth, and his name is Jesus. I love the Gospels. Here's what I love, brothers. I love that these four gospel writers are all talking about the same Jesus, but they do it in different ways. Totally different ways. Almost like four film directors who've been given the same subject to film, but have each been given their own cinematic license to film it. Each one of them give us a different HD view of who Jesus really is. And that's why I'm glad tonight Mark is our director for tonight. Woo! See, if you like long, boring documentaries, you got to read the book of Matthew, okay? Because Matthew, he is writing primarily to a Jewish audience, so he begins the long process of letting you know that Jesus is the fulfillment of over 300 Old Testament prophecies that were given in a 1,500-year time span. Come on, any brothers in here ever read Matthew chapter 1? Get you some coffee and espresso when you read it, okay? Excitement level is right up there with the book of Leviticus, okay? For the whole first chapter, we are just scripturally inundated with baby daddy after baby daddy after baby daddy. That's chapter 1, okay? If you like sci-fi movies, you got to read the book of Luke, because Luke is a doctor. So Luke goes into detail to explain the miracles that Christ did and how his miracles could do what modern medicine could not do. If you're a brother in here, no judging, but you like those movies that your wife or your girlfriend makes you go see, them mushy, gushy, romantic movies, if you actually like them, read the book of John, okay? John is a chick flick. John is the dude that's always laying his head on the chest of Jesus, and he's all about love. But if you are like me, and you like some movies that have some action where things get blown up and people get beat up, come with your boy to the book of Mark. Mark is Jesus Christ in action. Mark is so gangster, he don't even have time for baby Jesus. Now read the book of Mark. You will not find a manger in the book of Mark. This dude skips Christmas and just goes straight to full-grown Jesus with hair on his chest, smelling like Old Spice. Mark is not playing games with you. Mark wants to let you know with clarity and precision that before there was a Russell Crowe in Gladiator, before there was a Mel Gibson in Braveheart, before there was a Denzel, please believe there was a King Jesus. And every time he stepped in a situation, it came under his divine authority because he was a man of God. Oh, I'm so thankful for the real Jesus in the Bible, because people are trying to dumb men down and say, you got to be a punk to praise God. No, I'm powerful because I know I got to get down on my knees and call on the God that formed me and created me. Come on, are there any men in here that are warriors and worshipers? Warriors and worshipers. I feel like preaching tonight. Can I come down here? Mark chapter 2. Mark tells us that Jesus, he's been traveling. He's been picking up on his freaking walker miles. And it's funny to me. And he gets to a house, a certain house. Historians believe it's Peter's house. And the Bible says when Jesus gets to this house, all he does is he sits down to rest in this house. I'm sure he was tired from the journey. He just sits down to chillax in this house. And within minutes of him sitting down to rest in the house, all of a sudden throughout the entire region, people start going, psst, hey, bro, come here. You know Jesus in town, right? You know Jesus just showed up. Before you know it, people start getting on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and they start putting the address on blast, saying, hey, you better get to this house. Jesus just showed up. And before you know it, the entire place is jam-packed with people simply because his presence sat down to rest in one place. People from different walks of life, people from different economic backgrounds, people from different cultures, all converged in one place because his presence sat down to rest in a house. What is it about the presence of God coming to rest in a place that causes people to be drawn from everywhere? I'll tell you what it is. People instinctively know if you can ever get God's presence to rest in a place, how many of you know something supernatural, something life-changing, something miraculous will happen if his presence shows up? Come on, man. Why are you here tonight? Come on. You could be at the house right now. You could be Netflixing right now. Why in the world would you come on a Friday night straight from work? Some of you drove a long way to get here just to come into the house of God. You didn't come to hear the worship team as awesome as they are. You didn't come to hear me preach. You don't even know who I am. I think I know why you came tonight. You came because you knew God's presence would be in this place. And when God's presence shows up, something happens on the inside of you. Oh, let me tell you, you want to make the devil mad? Be a man that passionately pursues the presence of God. Ooh, you want to make demons tremble? Pursue the presence of God. Because you do know, men, you were created to be in his presence. Ooh, I wish I had time. If you look at the book of Genesis, I love Genesis because Genesis shows us that in everything God created, he made the environment more important than the entity. In other words, for the entity to survive, it had to stay connected to its environment. What you talking about, Robert? I'm going to show you. He first created the sky. Then he filled it with stars. He first created the water. Then he filled it with fish. He first created the earth. Then he filled it with shrubs. He then created the man and then filled him with his presence. If you take a star out of the sky, it becomes a meteorite and it malfunctions and it dies. If you take a fish out of water, it'll start doing the Harlem Shake and it will malfunction and it will die. If you take a plant out of the ground, it will malfunction and it will die. And if you take a man out of the presence of God, he will malfunction, he will die, because you were created to be in his presence. Be in his presence, and I love it because I can see them all packed in this house. I can see them. I can see them. I can see the sick in this house going, ooh, if he touches me, I know I'm going to be made whole. I can see it. I can see it. I can see practical things like a dad with his little son. He ain't really feeling it. He's on his iPad just, and the dad's like, boy, pay attention. Jesus going to tell you something, bro. That's why you get in trouble at school, because you don't listen to nobody. Listen to Jesus. He going to change your life. I can see it. I can see it. And come on, just be real. Jesus was single and in the ministry. So I can see some ladies in the house talking about, girl, hey, girl, Yeshua is fine. You see that hair? Mm-hmm. Girl, I heard last week at a wedding, he turned water into wine. Yes, he did. Don't let him ask me out on a date. I'm ordering water. I mean, I can see them all packed in this house, and they're waiting with tiptoe anticipation to see what Jesus was going to do. They should have been waiting to hear what Jesus was going to say. The Bible says they're all packed in this house. All Jesus does is he stands up. He clears his holy throat. The Bible says that Jesus preached the word to them. That's all he did, was he preached the word. And that might not get you excited, but that gets me excited, because I love to hear people preach the word of God. Something powerful happens whenever the word of God is preached. And bless you if you're a part of a church that has a pastor that preaches the word of God. Come on, because there's a lot of people today standing behind pulpits that ain't preaching the word. They're preaching their opinion. They're preaching cute stories. They're preaching their political ideology. And they wonder why there's no transformation in the people that they're preaching to. Because the only thing that can transform your soul is the infallible, incorruptible, everlasting, eternal, unchanging word of God. That's where the power is in the word. I love to hear people preach the word. Here's how mature I've gotten as a believer. I don't even care your style of how you preach it. If you're preaching the word, I am with you, okay? I like calm preachers that preach the word, and they just stay in one spot, and they say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I like calm preachers that preach the word. I like preachers that get real excited when they preach the word and got veins popping out of their neck and got a Hammond B3 organ behind them and sound like they're having an asthma attack between each word. Come on, you know that preacher. They're like, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. If it says I'm the head, I'm the head. If it says I'm above, I'm above. I'm so glad that God, I mean, I like those preachers too. I preach like that in some places, but I want to scare some of y'all here in San Bernardino. And in my text today, hear me. This ain't no ordinary preacher. It's Jesus. It's the greatest preacher to ever preach. Ooh, do you know why I preach like I had 6 Red Bull tonight? Because I had 6 Red Bull tonight. No. Do you know why I preach with so much passion and so much exuberance? Is because I know when I get to heaven, don't nobody want to hear what I got to say. Come on, we don't want to hear any preachers when we get to heaven. Put your little podcast to the side. The only person we want to hear when we get to heaven is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the only one. Woo. Got to get all my preaching out now. You understand, when I preach, when Pastor Dan preaches, your pastor preaches, we just have a word. Jesus was the Word. He was the Word made flesh. That means if Jesus really wanted to preach a good message, that's all he had to say. And he still would have been preaching. He was the Word made flesh. There they are in this room. They're trying to pay attention to Jesus. They really are. But like many of us, in the middle of the message, they got distracted. Wait a minute. Is somebody on the roof? They're trying to pay attention to a sermon. Before you know it, debris starts falling down in the middle of the house. And before you know it, a hole starts appearing in the roof. And before you know it, a few hands and a few heads appear in the hole as the hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Ooh. Now, historians believe this is Peter's house. Peter's house. They put in a hole in Peter's roof. Okay, let me explain to disciples for some of y'all. Okay, if there's any disciple you don't want to put a hole in his roof, it's Peter, okay? Put a hole in John's roof. You know, a disciple that's always laying on the chest of Jesus. Put a hole in his roof, because he'll just say, now I can see the stars that my Creator has made for me. Not Peter, okay? Peter, like some of y'all, you love Jesus, but you're still working that temper out, okay? You love Jesus, but don't let somebody cut you off on the highway, okay? Peter was crazy. Peter would cuss you out. Peter would cut you. So I can see this hole getting bigger and bigger, and Peter's like, man, what the? And Jesus is like, watch your mouth, Peter. Watch your mouth, boy. Come on, man, we talked about this. I'm the Son of God. I'll make you a new roof. You're going to be all right, okay? All of a sudden, they start lowering this man down, 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 all the way at the feet of Jesus. Bible doesn't tell us this man's name. Doesn't even tell us when his paralysis occurred. All the Bible tells us is that he is a paralytic man. That's noteworthy. That's noteworthy, because if you study the Gospels, one of the things that you will find is that anytime Jesus encounters a person, rarely do we get their name. More often than not, we just get their gender and their condition. Have you ever noticed this? There was a man with a withered hand. There was a man who was blind. There was a man who was deaf. There was a woman with the issue of blood. We just get their gender and their condition. And do you know what it speaks to? I think it speaks to the human tendency to identify people by their issues. Yeah, we do that today. People love to identify other people by their issues. People love to label you by a certain issue that you have, because it comforts the human conscience to put people in categories and to label people by some mistake that they made. Humans are the only people that will call you something for 15 years that you did one time in your past in 5 minutes and think the sum total of your life is the mistake that you made. Some of you brothers right now are struggling to give God praise because the enemy keeps reminding reminding you of your past mistakes and what you did last night and what you did 2 weeks ago, and you think that your issue is your identity. But I got some good news from heaven for somebody in this place today. How many of you are thankful that if a man be in Christ, come on, you are a brand new creature. Your past has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Come on, don't define yourself by your dysfunction. You are more than your mistake. Your issue is not your identity. Ooh, it's the trick of the enemy and people to keep up bringing up your past and reminding you what you did and blogging about you and tweeting about you and talking about you. You need to start looking at people and talk trash to the devil and say, you know what? You know a whole lot about my history, but you don't know anything about my destiny. God has greater in front of me than the mistakes of my past. Never make yourself think that you are what you did. Your issue is not your identity. You are who God says you are. Here they are. They just label this man, and they call him a paralytic man. And I love it because watch this. He's in the presence of God. He made it to God's presence, but he's still got a paralysis. He's in God's presence, but he's still got his paralysis. Ooh, I love it because I know you can't say anything here tonight because you're trying to be real spiritual, like you had communion for lunch. And you floated in the room because that's how we do. But you'd be shocked at the men in this room who are in God's presence, but you got a paralysis. Brothers, I'm talking about the thing that affects your walk with the Lord. I'm talking about the thing that you cry out to God in a secret place and say, God, if I didn't have this, my walk with you could be a whole lot better. And maybe you feel like this man tonight. You feel like giving up. You feel like throwing in the towel. Understand, this is first century, in this century rather, there are no wheelchairs. This man would sit in one place, stuck for hours. Can we be real tonight? Have you ever just felt stuck in life, watching other people pass you by and going, God, how long am I going to be in this situation? And you feel like giving up and you feel like throwing in the towel. But God sent this screaming, shouting, sweating chocolate brother from Dallas, Texas to tell you, you can't give up. You can't give up because God has a way of putting you at the right place at the right time to hear the right word so you can get up, man up, and walk into all that God has for you. Ooh, thank God, Pastor Dan, for these four men. These are the type of men I want in my life. Give me some friends like this. See, some of you can't go to the next level because of the people that are around you. I want four men like this. I don't want men that see me on the ground and say, hey, bro, the ground ain't that bad. In fact, Target got some more mats. You want me to go get you another? No. Give me some tear the roof off brothers who will push me into my purpose and push me into my destiny and say, man, you can't be mediocre. Man, with all the purpose you got in your life, no, man, Jesus is going to meet with you today. You know, I'm crazy. I will tear the roof off. I don't know what to do about the situation, but he know what to do about the situation. Come on, somebody get his legs. I'm going to get his arm. These four men said, I'll do whatever it takes to get him into the presence of God. Ooh, no wonder Jesus responded in the text to their faith. Ooh, don't miss that. Not just the faith of the man, but the faith of the four men who said, I'll do whatever it takes for this brother to get a breakthrough. Four men. Ooh, I don't want to impose anything on this text, but I found it interesting that when I'm stuck in life, there's four men that I need, four men that I call when I'm stuck. I think every man needs a father. Every man needs a pastor. Every man needs a mentor. And every man needs a friend. Ooh, I'm gonna say it again for the note takers. Every man needs a father. Every man needs a pastor. Every man needs a mentor. Every man needs a friend. Every man needs a pastor, a shepherd that can guide you, that can speak truth to you, that can tell you your breath stinks. Yeah, that can call you out on your mess. A pastor to guide you. Every man needs a mentor, somebody that can shape you in the specificity of your call. Because Jesus did not come to earth, get up from the grave, and save you just so you could sit on your blessed assurance and come to a church service. But he actually has a call on your life, a purpose for your life. A mentor can shape your purpose. Every man needs a father. Ooh, a father. You can get here by yourself. I don't care what you want to say. You were shaped by some man who was your father. Not me. My daddy wasn't ever there. That empty chair at the dining room table shaped you. Every man needs a father. If you didn't have a natural one, find you a spiritual father that can pour into your life. And every man needs a friend, somebody that you can be real with, somebody that you can not just talk about who won the game, and somebody you don't have to put on your Superman cape for, but you can say, hey, bro, here's my kryptonite, and I'm about to die. Can you pray for me about this? These four men tore the roof off. Now, when somebody comes through a roof, you should shut that sermon down, because this is a big sermon interruption. And the crowd is taken back that somebody's come through the roof, but the crowd is also excited, because this is what they paid their ticket to see. I mean, come on, it's already been rumored throughout the region that Jesus has supernatural power. So as soon as the dude hits the ground, I can see the whole crowd going, oh, it's about to go down. I'm telling you, y'all, Jesus got power. He got power. I don't know if he's going to take mud and rub it on his legs. I don't know what he's going to do, but it's going to be good. You better get your camera and put this on YouTube. And the man who had to be embarrassed to be lowered into the presence of all these people, but all of a sudden his embarrassment is eradicated with the feeling of elation, because he knows for the first time in his life, he's going to be able to stand on his own two feet. For the first time in his life, he's going to be able to go for a run. For the first time in his life, when he's at a wedding and they do the cha-cha slide and they say one hop this time, he's going to be able to do it. While the crowd is waiting to clap at the miracle and the man is waiting to dance, Jesus, who has the power to heal him, The first thing he says is, son, your sins are forgiven. What? Okay, some of y'all too spiritual for me. You're too spiritual. Because as soon as I said sins forgiven, you were like, oh, glory to God. Yes, sin. That is just the problem. But I don't know how you read the Bible. Here's how I read the Bible. I jump in the page of the Bible, okay? I imagine what it would be like to be that particular individual in the Bible. And that lets me know, I would have gotten kicked out of the Bible, okay? Right around Genesis chapter 2, okay? Because whenever I am frustrated, whenever I am annoyed, I have the tendency to be a little bit sarcastic, okay? Y'all pray for me, all right? So if that's me, and I've just been carried through a crowd up the side of a house, a hole has been cut and a reconstruction has happened for me to get into the presence of a man that everybody's been saying is going to heal me, and everybody's been saying is going to make me walk again, and the first thing he says to me is, son, your sins are forgiven. I'm going, oh, appreciate it, Jesus. You know, that's why we came all the way down here, to get my sins forgiven. Yeah, that's the real obvious apparent issue, to get my sins forgiven. Yeah, I don't need these legs. I don't want to walk. I came all the way down here to get my sins forgiven. Hey, y'all, sins forgiven. Let's go home. What is Jesus talking about? Brothers, you got to read your Bible. It is funny stuff in your Bible. This dude didn't say anything about sin. This dude didn't say anything about an inner issue. Jesus seems to be the only ignoramus in the room who don't realize this man did not come to get his sins forgiven. Hello, he wants to do the moonwalk. But hear me, brothers. Anytime Jesus appears to be acting ignorant in Scripture, you got to pay close attention. He's about to give you incredible insight. Oh, let me say a little bit more eloquently. There is a profundity in the alleged stupidity of Christ. Ooh, that's good. Because this man, just like us as men, didn't even realize he was in the exact place, posture, and position that God often reveals himself to you. Hear my heart, brothers. There is a place in life that is frustrating, that is annoying, but it's often the place that God reveals himself to you. And that place is this: whenever your experience doesn't line up with your expectation, God is trying to give you a revelation of who he is. Please don't miss that. Whenever your experience doesn't line up with your expectation, God is trying to give you a revelation of who he is. Because rarely is Jesus recognized. He is more often revealed. And he reveals himself at the place where our experiences don't line up with our expectations. Oh, come on, brothers. Has anybody ever been there before? Where you experienced something you weren't expecting, but now you can look back in hindsight and say, whoo, it was good that that happened the way it did. I didn't want it to happen that way, but boy, I'm sure glad that it did. Thank you that they didn't call me back for that job. I wouldn't have the business I have right now. God, thank you that that girl never called me back and wouldn't go out on a date. I just checked her Facebook page. I see what she looks like now. Thank you for shutting that. Oh, come on, somebody. Have you ever looked back and seen that your experience didn't line up with your expectation? But God in his grace was revealing himself to you. Ooh, he is a revealer, and he does it when your experience doesn't line up with your expectation. Ooh, are y'all bored yet? I wish I had time. Can I go a little bit deeper? I could take you throughout the Bible and show you different scenarios where people's experiences didn't line up with their expectation, and it was just a setup for God to reveal himself to them. I'll give you my favorite one. Remember John chapter 11? We're introduced to a family. Remember Mary and Martha? Remember that brother Lazarus gets sick, just out of the blue, he starts coughing. I think I got the black lung. He just starts coughing. And somebody get that tomorrow. And they don't trip at first, but all of a sudden it gets worse and worse to the point Lazarus can't even get out of the bed. And in my mind, I can see Martha, she's a little poised, she's keeping it together, but Mary is freaking out, going, "Ah! Martha's like, girl, stop that crying. Okay, stop that crying. Let me ask you something. When Jesus comes into town, whose house does he stay at? Oh, he stays in our house. Girl, that means this whole house is covered in the presence of the Lord. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. As a matter of fact, get my cell phone. Come on, y'all know this Bible story. Takes her cell phone and sends a text message to Jesus. Says, Jesus, the one you love, doesn't even say his name. You know who I'm talking about. The one you love is sick. You, Jesus, do what you do. Send. Jesus is on the other side of town preaching the gospel. As he's preaching, cell phone text message noise goes off. Ding, ding. He's like, what I tell y'all about cell phones while I'm preaching? Disciples are like, Jesus, that's you. He's like, oh, my bad. Pulls out his cell phone, sees the text message from Martha. The one you love is sick. You, Jesus, do what you do. He immediately responds. He says, do not worry. This cyclone, this sickness, predictive text will jack you up on it. This sickness will not end in death. Sends it back to Martha. Martha gets the text. Ah, look who just texted me. Jesus. He said this sickness will not end in death. I told you he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. I mean, they start having church. I'm sorry. That was so selfish as a communicator, because that was for me, not for you. Because it was so funny to watch some of your faces go, I ain't never read this version before in my life. Let me help you, brothers. That is the NIV, okay? Negro International Version. That's a different translation. It's not in bookstore. They started shouting. They start dancing off of a text message. But don't miss it. Right after they finished dancing, Lazarus died. And Jesus has the nerve and the audacity to not come to the funeral. He don't show up to the graveside service. He don't send a get well card. This dude walks in 4 days late, cool, calm, and collected. Talking about, hey, how y'all doing? Y'all good? Mary and Martha are like, no, he didn't. They're like, Jesus, I will cut you. Oh, read it. They were so mad. They said, Jesus! You know how women get when come on, we can be honest. Jesus, you would have been here. Her brother wouldn't have died. Their experience didn't line up with their expectation. They were expecting him to come as soon as they sent word, but he didn't. He waited till Lazarus was dead, and not just dead, 4 days. That's dead. 4 days dead. Walks right up to him, walks right past them, says, show me the place where you laid him down, goes to the grave, preaches a 3-point sermon, and says, Lazarus, come forth. And thank God it was a 3-point sermon that day, because you do know his word is so powerful. If he would have just gone to the grave and just said, come forth, every dead person in there would have been like, hold on, he's talking about me, and it would have been a thriller video. But I want to thank God he can get the right word to the right person at the right time. Come on, somebody. So whatever is holding you down, oh, man up. So Somebody come play so I can land. Can you see Mary and Martha taking the grave clothes off of their brother who was dead? Going, girl, Jesus off the chain. I thought he could only heal people. Ooh, you stink. I thought he could only heal people when they got sick. But girl, he's got power to raise people from the dead. And we would have never known resurrection power was in him until our experience didn't line up with our expectation. I'm telling you, brothers, that thing you complaining about, you could flip the script and start praising about it. Because it's just a setup for God to reveal himself to you in a deeper way. I sense God's presence in here tonight. Sometimes it's not until you get the bad doctor's report that you get a revelation that he is a healer. Sometimes it's not until people you thought you could trust stab you in the back that you get a revelation that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Sometimes it's not until your money is funny and your change is strange and you got more bills than you got income that you get the revelation that he really is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Come on, how your pocketbook going down, but your belly getting bigger because you're still eating 3 meals a day? He's still providing for you somehow, some way. He's revealing himself to you. What is he revealing to this man? Is somebody coming to play at the piano? Because this makes it sound a whole lot spiritual as soft music was playing. What's he revealing to this man? What's he revealing to the man? Well, look at what he says to him. He says, son. I love it because he spoke to his identity. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. Only a Savior can say that. Only a Savior can make that declaration. And in that moment, that man had to be thinking, Jesus, hello, my legs. Why did I come to you? You don't even know what my problem is. Jesus saying, no, you don't know what your problem is. You got a dislocated finger. You think your legs are the big issue, but they're not. In fact, your legs are just the fruit of the issue. But sin is the root of the issue. And I cannot deal with the fruit of an issue until I go deeper and deal with the root of an issue. I know in my own life, I'm so good at inviting Jesus to deal with the fruit of issues. Fix them. Fix her. Fix that. So many times he shines a light on my heart. He says, no, I need to fix you. This man didn't even realize. Watch this. This is so gangster. This man didn't even realize that the Jesus didn't say anything but, your sins are forgiven, and then walk out the room and leave him on the floor. How many know he still did a miracle? He still did a miracle. Because you're better off being paralyzed and forgiven than to be walking in sin. But you ought to thank God tonight. He's able to do both. He don't want you paralyzed with the promise, and he don't want you walking in sin. He wants you walking worthy of the call that is on your life, stepping into your purpose, into your destiny. Your sins are forgiven. You got a dislocated soul. He says, before I deal with the suffering, I got to deal with your soul. Before I deal with your external circumstance, I got to deal with your heart. Your sins are forgiven. I love it because as soon as it gets to the root of the problem, the Pharisees, the haters, the church folk, they say, oh, he's blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins? Who but God alone? That's who he was. He was God. So much God, he responded not to their words, to their thoughts. They thought it. They didn't even say it. And Jesus goes, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk. He says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Come on, man, can we pause right there and thank God that we serve a God that has authority? Oh, come on, you can stop stressing about what you're stressing about. You serve a God that doesn't have an inferiority complex. He knows who he is. He's got all authority. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He knows the end from the beginning. He has got all power and authority. He says, so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He looks at this man and says, I tell you, get up. Somebody say, get up. Oh, come on, say it like you got some faith. Say, get up. Come on, say it like you got some power. Say, get up. Oh, I love that Jesus told this man just to get up. He didn't say, I'm going to put some oil on you. He didn't say, I'm going to get a prayer team. He didn't say, I'm going to do a six-week series. He said, no, not for this miracle. For this miracle, I've given you a word. Now, you got to respond to the word that you heard and activate your faith and do something. Come on, somebody say, get up. Oh, somebody came all the way to this service tonight to get those two words. Get up. God wants to take you to a new place. Get up. God wants to take you to a new dimension. Come on, man up. God wants to bring you up from every single thing that the enemy was trying to hold you down in. Come on, man. Man up. Man up from depression. Man up from disease. Man up from poverty. Man up from the pain of your past. Come on, somebody. Would you give God some praise and just say, man up? Hallelujah. Don't you let the enemy make you stay on the ground and live at this level. Your calling is too high for you to live that low. Man up. I can see this man standing for the first time. In my mind, I imagine the whole place erupted, giving God praise. This man who was down, now manned up. But I love Jesus because he's not just powerful, he's practical. He's not just powerful, he's practical. Because right after he told him to man up, get up, he says something else to the man that when I first read it, made me laugh out loud. He says, get up. He goes, oh, and take your mat. Can you see that man going, Matt, I don't need this mat. Jesus, you know how long I've been laying on this mat? I'm good. No, you ain't good. Take your mat. You're thinking, why I got to carry this stupid mat around? I think it's because Jesus didn't want him to ever forget that he used to be down on the ground. Oh, come on. I'm talking to some church folks now. Sometimes when God raises you up and you've been walking with him for a while, you'll get anointed amnesia and you'll forget where you should have been and where you could have been if it had not been for the grace of God. Come on, don't you forget your mat, brother. Your mat is your testimony of God's goodness in your life. You know where you could be if God hadn't stepped in your life. Your mat is your testimony. Oh, does anybody here have a mat of the goodness of God and where he brought you from? Get your mat. Your mat is what makes you reach out to another brother who's down in the same position you used to be in. Your mat is what makes you weep when a brother is in a place he's not supposed to be in, because you know it wasn't too long ago I was down on the ground. See this man walking with his mat. Oh, one more commandment. Go home. Some of y'all are like, are we going to be able to go home? I'm almost done. Just go home. Think it's possible if you told this man to go home, you think it's possible, plausible they could have had a wife? Think it's possible he could have had some kids? And I can see this dude walking to his house for the very first time, holding his mat. Come on, that's how you walk when you just got your legs. See him knocking on the door of his house. See maybe his kids coming to the front door going, Dad, I can't believe, Dad, you're standing, you're walking. Mama, come see Dad. He's home, he's standing. And Mom, she's in the kitchen and she's cooking chicken. And you already knew. And says, quit making up them stories. You were making up stories at school. Your daddy is not out there. No, Mama, come see. Stops cooking. Comes to the front door. Sees her husband standing there for the first time. In my imagination, tears begin to run down her face. Because when a man is transformed, it changes the entire house. The entire house. Says, I can see him looking at his wife. I can see him saying, sweetheart, you can't even see the real miracle. The real miracle isn't just that my legs have been healed. The real miracle is that my sins have been washed away. He dealt with a thing that nobody else could deal with. In fact, my legs are just proof positive that he did a work on the inside. Because whenever God wants to heal you, brother, he'll heal you from the inside out. You trying to be fixing the external. Ah! But you got a dislocated soul. Had to preach this message tonight because God told me he wants to heal some dislocated souls tonight. All your life you've been wrestling and fighting with the external. God's saying, no, it's an internal job. I'm just going to ask in this moment, every head be bowed, and every eye be closed. Jesus, thank you for loving us enough to shine the light on the inside. Father, tonight, I stand with my brothers. God, I ask you to get to the root of the issue. God, don't let us waste years of our life complaining about the fruit of issues when you want to go so much deeper and get to the root. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight. If you're here tonight and you say, you know what, there's something that's at the root of the issue that I haven't surrendered to God. I don't know what that thing is, but I believe as I was preaching, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you as to what that thing is. For some man, it could be bitterness, anger, unforgiveness that you keep holding towards somebody that you won't let go, and it ain't killing them, it's killing you. God's saying, today is time to get up. Let me get to the root. I don't know what that thing is, but if you're in here tonight and you say, Jesus, tonight I give that thing to you. Tired of putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. Do surgery and get to the root. If that's you and you say, I know what that is, would you just lift up your hand and say, God, tonight I'm giving it to you. Just lift it up. Say, I know what that is. And I'm going to surrender it to him. Yeah, yeah. Hands are going up all over this place tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Just lift it up and put it right back down. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Head still bowed. Eyes still closed. If you're here tonight and you've never even taken the first step, which is say, Jesus, my life is yours. Some of you just need to say, you know what? I'm tired of doing life on my own. But God, for me, getting up means I'm surrendering to you, inviting to you into my life. I'm not asking you how you've been to church. I'm asking you, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? If you're a man in here tonight and you say, you know what? I've never taken that first step, which is say, Jesus, all that I am is yours. And I'm ready to get up and walk in relationship with you. If that's you, I just want you to lift up your hand right where you are. Say, that's me. I need to give him my life tonight. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Hands going up all over this place. Maybe you need to rededicate, recommit your life to him. Just lift it up and put it right back down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just sense this so strongly. Hands were lifted up for both of those things. But if you lifted up your hand for either one of those, for either one of those, I just think there's things that we do in the natural that are a picture of what God is doing in the supernatural. And when I count to three, if you lift up your hand for either one of those saying, hey, there's something I want to surrender that I notice at the root of saying, I need to give my life. When I count to three, I'm just going to ask you to get out of your seat and come up here to this altar. You say, man, what are people going to think? Who cares? That man didn't care what anybody thought when he walked up out of there holding his mat. So when I count to three, if you lifted up your hand, or you should have, I just want you to get out of your seat and come to this altar. And I'm believing it's God showing you that you're walking into a new place. One, two, it's between you and your God. Three, come on, come on, come on, come on. You lifted up your hand, or you should have, or either one of those, just come. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, come on. Walking into a new place. Walking into your purpose. Come on. Come on.
How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see.
Declare this to our King tonight. Let's sing it.
How great. me how great.
Come on, just begin to surrender to Him. All will see.
All will see
how great. Come on, brothers, just begin to release that thing to your Father as we declare,
how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Jesus, we love you tonight. God, we're not asking you to fix the external or fix somebody else. God, we're asking you to fix us. We want to man up. We know we can only man up when you heal us from the inside out. Do it tonight, Jesus. God, we just rest in your presence. Allow you to do surgery. We want to be the men you've called us to be. We want to be the fathers you've called us to be. Right where you are. Just want us to pray this closing prayer. We're all going to say it as one big brotherhood tonight, but especially those of you who came to the front tonight. Would you just say this prayer from your heart? I'm going to give you the words, but you say it. Just say, "Dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving me. Thank you for loving me just like I am. Thank you for loving me. But you won't let me stay the same. Jesus, tonight, I give you permission. Get to the root of the issue. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new. I am who you say I am. From this moment forward, I'm walking with you. I'm going to get up. I'm going to man up and take my mat so the world will see that I am a man that Jesus raised from death to life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Come on, can we give God some praise tonight? Oh, come on, man, you could do better than that. Can we give God some praise tonight? Hallelujah. 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 If you came to the front tonight, especially if you made that decision to say, you know what, I'm walking with Jesus for the first time, can you do me this favor? Don't leave. And I'm talking to Pastor Joel. Joel is somewhere here. Here he is right here. Especially if you made that decision, or maybe you just need extra prayer and say, hey, man, this is something I need to talk to somebody about. Please don't leave without going with my brother here, Joel. How many of you are blessed by the word of God tonight? Were you blessed, man? It's so good. I want to encourage you this Sunday, I'll be preaching both services right here. So, man, use your manhood, use your authority, get every brother, get your family, your crazy cousin, Pookie and all them, and get him to church this Sunday. I'm literally preaching a message that has revolutionized my life and is changing the body of Christ. Sunday's going to be off the chain. If you can, get your face in the place here this Sunday. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor. Thank you so much, brothers. I appreciate you.
God is good.